Let me encourage you to take your Bibles out this morning and turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. Title of the message, Compassion on the Least of These. Go ahead and begin in verse 31. I'll read the whole text to you. Verse 31, Jesus speaking. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left hand. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me in. I was naked, and you clothed Me. I was in prison, and you visited Me. I was sick, and you came to Me. Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty or give you drink? When did we see you stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the King will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, insomuch as you did it to one of the least of these, My brethren, that's key, you did it to Me. Then He will also say to those on His left hand, Depart from Me, you cursed, into an everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take Me in. Naked, and you did not clothe Me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit Me. Then they also will answer Him, saying, Lord, when did you see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then He will answer them, saying, Assuredly, I say to you, insomuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous too into everlasting life. Next week, we'll begin a new book. We'll look at 1 Thessalonians next week. So I encourage you to go ahead and read chapter 1, verses 1 through 10 as we study a new book. But I felt, because we're having a guest speaker this morning, I just felt in my heart that this section of Scripture is a wonderful Scripture dealing with those that are in need and those that are hurting. And I think we've come across people in our lifetime that have struggled, that have hurt. Maybe it's some of you this morning that have gone through that. Maybe it's some of you that are struggling financially right now, that are struggling with food, that are struggling with drink, whatever it may be. I think we could all identify with that on some kind of level. And so we're better together here this morning, speaking after I speak. Again, I believe the Scripture is very, very applicable for us today. If you're familiar with this text, it has to do with Jesus speaking to His disciples concerning the last days. And we're going to take this section of Scripture and draw application for our own lives. The historical context has to do with Jesus' second return, when Jesus comes back to planet Earth, and those that are alive and remain on the earth, He will judge them according to what they've done to, and we'll see in a moment, to the Jews in the tribulation period. So we'll go through this text. I'll give you the historical a little bit, but I want to draw more on the application. If you are not familiar with Matthew 25, you can hear a message on this that I've taught probably about 4 years ago to get the historical context a little more deeper. So this morning, let's go ahead and begin in verse 31 as the Lord Jesus speaks to his disciples concerning end times. Verse 31, Jesus says, "When the Son of Man," that's himself, "comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." This is a picture, again, of Jesus Christ's second return when he arrives in the city of Jerusalem at the end of the tribulation period. Jesus now begins to speak to those who survived that period of time. And notice he says, he comes in his glory and he will separate them one from another, that's nations. So at the end of the tribulation period, you're going to have a group of Jews that survive the seven-year tribulation that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, when you look at our culture today, look what's happening to America. You see all the protests against Israel, the protests against Jews. This is a precursor of what's going to take place in the last 7 years of human history prior to Jesus' return. The Jews will have no one to protect them. But there will be a remnant in that seven-year period within the nations that are going to help the Jews out. This is remarkable because God already set the stage in motion during this period of time when they will take a chance and love on those Jews that are needy in the tribulation period. In verse 32, the nations are the Gentile nations, individuals within a nation that are Gentiles. And he is speaking again to the Jewish people, and look down with me to verse 40. And Jesus said this, "And he will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, insomuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Again, he's speaking of the Jews in the tribulation period. It's going to be so bad that if you help out a Jew, your life could be taken. But there are those that love Jesus Christ that don't care. They're going to minister to the Jews that are hungry, that are thirsty, that are imprisoned, so on. That's the historical context. But put yourself in the shoes of the Gentile nations today, not in the seven-year tribulation, today, to those that are needy, those that are hurting, the least of these, showing compassion on the least of these. Put yourselves in those shoes. Notice in verse 33, "And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left." The right hand of God is always the hand of blessing, the blessing of God, the favor of God in the Bible. By the way, this morning, you are the favored of God. You are the blessed of God. Did you know that? Christ absolutely loves you. The church. He died for the church. He died for those who trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You are blessed. When you stand before Jesus Christ, you are going to stand before holy God, and he's going to say, enter into my kingdom. God's love for you never changes. God's mercy for you never changes. God's concern for you is always there. You're the blessed. The Old Testament, typically the father would lay his hand on the firstborn and give him the blessing. This is the way God sees the church of the firstborn, the blessing. On the left hand is the symbol of rejection, the goats, those that are not Christ's children, those that don't care about the things of God. The left hand typically is not a good sign in the Bible. In fact, I could remember friends of mine that were raised in the Roman Catholic Church and went to Catholic schools. They forced them, if they were right-handed, they forced them to write right-handed. Yeah. So typically, that would take place. So even as a kid, as a non-believer, as one who had a little religiousness in my background, I knew that the left hand was not a good thing. And it isn't in the eyes of God. That's the rejection of God. And those are the goats. And typically a shepherd back then would separate the sheep from the goats because from far away, they all looked the same, at least in the Middle Eastern culture. But when they got closer, he would separate them. And the goats typically would be put in a warmer place, separated from the sheep. So you can picture this in the cultural aspect of the shepherd in the first century. So Jesus is coming back. He's going to return, and he's going to separate sheep from goats. You this morning are sheep. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. You committed your life to Jesus Christ. You're born again. You love him. You're sheep. Lost people or people who don't care about the things of God or religious people who played a game, they're goats. And then he continues. Verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, the hand of blessing, come you, blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom before you from the foundation of the world. I love that. He's saying, enter the kingdom. What is he talking about? Again, the historical context is when Jesus comes back, those who survive, we as a church, we're in heaven, okay? But those last 7 years, there are going to be tribulation saints to survive. He's saying, enter into the kingdom. That's his earthly kingdom. He says, come on in. And he says, not only come on in, but I've prepared this for you before the foundations of the earth, the world. I love that. And we're going to see that next week in 1 Thessalonians. I feel very secure that God knows the beginning from the end. God knows those who are his and those who are not. I rest in that as I walk the walk in the Christian faith, that God knows that I'm his. It doesn't make me fearful. It makes me secure. Are you secure this morning? That God, before the foundations of the world, knew that you were going to trust in Jesus Christ? That makes me feel secure. And he says, before the foundations of the world, God, it's a little deep, but hang in there. In God's foreknowledge, God foreknew before the worlds began that you're going to be his. The word foreknowledge means foreloved. Before loved. That means before the earth was created, before any of this sin mess took place on the earth, God loved you. He foreloved you. Isn't that good? You should be walking out of here thrilled today. This makes me thrilled. It doesn't make me want to live a life of sin. It makes me want to love him and obey him. Then in verses 35 through 36, he begins to talk about the lifestyles. Look at me at verse 35. He says, for those who have been those that are his before the foundations of the world, he says, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. It's important to catch that sometimes people will read this section of scripture and say, oh, okay, so if I believe in God and I do a lot of good things, I'm going to get to heaven. That's not what it's teaching. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not of yourself. It is the, here it is, gift of God. Salvation is a gift. Titus 3, 5. It's by God's great mercy you are saved. It's by the mercy of God that you trusted in him. James is a good foundational scripture in relation to the text we're talking about. James says, faith without works is what?
Dead.
I believe in God. I don't do anything. There's no fruit. Faith, and here it is, faith without the action of obedience is dead. James chapter 2. It's dead. So he's talking about the fruit of salvation. Notice in this text, he says, for I was hungry and you gave me food, and I was thirsty, you gave me drink, and I was naked and you clothed me. Those are three of the six. What are those? Those are basic needs, basic human needs. You did. Faith, the action of obedience. When you look throughout the Old Testament, God met the needs of men. I can't help thinking of the children of Israel when they wandered through the wilderness for 40 long years. Disobedient Israel. God provided manna from heaven every day, except for one day. And God said, take a little extra with you so you have enough for the Sabbath for that one day. But he provided manna. He provided quail. Now remember, the wilderness is not like wilderness where you got trees and bushes all over. It's desert. Rocks, snakes, scorpions. God provided. Why? Because God is righteous and God takes care of the needs of humankind. Jesus in the New Testament met needs. Jesus had compassion and met the needs of people. Remember the feeding of the 5,000, that tremendous miracle? The text says specifically that in Matthew chapter 15, that people, crowds, huge crowds were following him for 3 days and had nothing to eat. And Jesus said to his disciples, I have compassion on them. And then you have the distribution of the fish and the loaves. Miraculous, able to feed everybody. Why? Because Jesus was compassionate. There are many sections like that in the Bible. And notice also the other three that are listed in Matthew 35 and 36 says that I was a stranger and you came to me. I was sick. I was in prison. Stranger, sick, and in prison. We are to care for those that are strangers, sick, and in prison. How about that? You see that in the Old Testament? You better believe it. You see God always caring for human needs, showing compassion, even though Israel, for example, we'll pick them out again, for example, were very rebellious. God still loved Israel. Let me read a section of scripture from Isaiah chapter 49. Listen to these words that Isaiah says. But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me." God says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have," here it is, "compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I," that's God, "will not forget. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands." Incredible. Rebellious people, God continually showed compassion to a rebellious, stiff-necked nation of Israel. How about Jesus? How about the New Testament? Yep. Jesus demonstrated compassion. You remember back in Matthew chapter 14, Jesus continually, the text says as well, that Jesus had compassion when he seen the sick, the broken, the hurting. He had absolute compassion. And he healed them. It wasn't like, well, I have to fulfill the Old Testament in Isaiah 35 and Isaiah 61 that the Messiah is a great healer. Let me just heal these people. No, it wasn't like that. It was like, I have compassion for these people. Lined them up. Heal them. That's the nature of God. How about, here's another one for you. Lazarus. Lazarus, dead. He died. The text says that Lazarus' body, King James Version, stinketh. You know what that means, right? It smells. He was decaying. 3 days in the tomb, there's no formaldehyde or anything like that. The body started decaying. What happened? Martha and Mary come to Jesus and start crying. "Lord, if you were here, you could have done something." What does it say? Jesus wept, cried. And he went and had compassion and raised Lazarus from the grave. Compassion. That's the heart of God. And you and me this morning that are born again, that love Jesus Christ, it is, ready for this, natural to love on people. Love on the hungry, love on the thirsty, love on the naked, love on the stranger, love on sick people, love on those who are in prison. That's the fruit of it. That's the fruit of a genuine believer. Now, it doesn't mean you don't use discernment. You know, I can remember me and Teresa, we live in Dallas. We went downtown to minister. There were some homeless people on the street. We met this guy. We had a great conversation with a homeless guy. Wonderful guy. Down and out. I said, "Can we help you out in some way? Can we meet a need?" He said, "Oh, just hang out with me. Just chat." So we chatted a little more. I said, "Have you eaten anything?" He says, "No, I haven't." Took him inside, got him pizza. He goes, "Hey, after we ate, can I wash your windows?" I said, "Yeah." After doing this, after feeding him, after allowing him for the sense of gratitude to wash the car windows, a group of homeless people, another group, come up to us and say, "Hey, man, we want some money." I say, "What do you need it for?" "We need it." Quickly discerned that this was not for basic needs. So I shared the gospel with them. Didn't want to hear it. They went away. If they would have listened to what I had to say, maybe. If the Lord gave me discernment. So the whole point of me saying that is the Lord gives you discernment, okay? But it is normal for a Christian to meet the needs of everyone. He continues on with the response of those who met needs. Verse 37. Then the righteous, notice he uses the word righteous, I like that. Those are the believers. The righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? I don't remember that, Lord. I don't remember you doing this. When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Lord, I don't remember any of that. Yeah, Lord, we did minister to people. Yeah, we ministered to those hungry, thirsty. Yeah, strangers, naked, sick. Went to prison for some that were really hurting. But I don't remember you being there. You have to fill me in, Lord. We do this to a lot of people. Look what Jesus says. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, in so much as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. You get that? When you've done it to somebody else, I was there all along. I was there watching. I was there observing. I seen it all. You know who he did it to? Me. Jesus is everywhere. He's omniscient, omnipresent. He knows all things. He's everywhere at all times. He sees it all. He says, when you've done it to them, you've done it to me. Boy, that will change your perspective on ministering to people. If Jesus were to say to you, I'm coming back in a week, right? Wouldn't that change your perspective on the last week of life on the earth? Whoa, you need to get your heart straight with God. Whoa, yeah, right? Jesus is there when you meet a need. You did it to me. Now let's look at the last section, the goats. Verse 41. Then he will also say to those on his left hand. Remember, you remember the Catholic story, right? You won't forget that one. Left hand, right hand. On his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. We have a need here. Let me pray about it. I've done it. And yeah, it's okay to pray about it, you know, but we pray about it and we just go on with life, don't we? Come on, we're all there sometimes. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked and sick or in prison and did not minister to you. Oh, if they knew that was Jesus, they would have been at his feet. Right? They would have been at his feet saying, oh, yeah, we're going to, oh, those people, we're going to minister to you, Jesus, you're here. Jesus answers them and says, assuredly, I say to you, verse 45, in so much as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. See the contrast? Sheep, goats. Sheep, do. Goats, don't. That's really the difference between the two. What about us this morning? Now, this doesn't mean that because you're going to get a sermon, you're going to go out and go crazy serving people for this first week, because I tell you what happens. If it's not by the Spirit of God, you will fall away from doing that. You'll work like a beaver, and then you'll get tired of it because it's pumped up in the flesh. But the Spirit of God convicts you as it convicts me. You'll begin to see that there are people that God has put across your path that he wants you to minister to them. So here's the story of Erica, right, this morning. People coming in, they got a safe space. But I want to go to America. Wait till I get to America, then I'll start taking care of people. They're doing it there in Turkey. Lord, when I get more money, I'll take care of needs. Man, you don't know how many times my grandmother, as a little kid, would give us like a quarter wrapped up in Reynolds wrap, hide it from my grandfather, and give it to us grandkids. That was a lot to her. She gave. We can. It should be the natural overflow of our hearts. Father, we thank you so much for Rosa coming in and sharing a little bit about Better Together. And Lord, help us to be a people that are used by you. What a joy it is to give of self. And as she had shared, that we are indeed your hands and your feet, Lord. Pray you may be glorified in our lifestyle. Help us to love self a whole lot less and love others a lot more. And Lord, we thank you for this service, Lord. We thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you so much, Lord, that you've allowed us to be the privilege of partaking of communion as we remember your death until your Son comes. It's in Jesus' precious name, all God's people said, amen. Amen.